listening to the Animation Show podcast. My name is Taylor Jessen, and I'm talking to Chris Williams, co-director of Bolt and director of Glago's Guest. Hi, Chris. How the heck are you?
Good. How you doing?
I am good. We are talking on the Tuesday after the Friday after a little thing called Bolt came out. How you feeling?
Feeling good. I think that, you know, we reached a pretty good audience, and we're, based on the reviews and the word of mouth, which has been so positive, we're hoping for a big Thanksgiving weekend.
Very cool. Yeah, people really seem to like it, so I just hope you really get a push this weekend.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, it's a cliche, but the reward is being able to sit with an audience and watch the movie at the end of the journey, and so I have had that opportunity a couple times now to see it with a real audience, and the reaction has been really positive, and you know, it's obviously a pretty massive undertaking to work on an animated movie, but when it works out, it really feels good.
I was lucky to see a preview of the short you did, Glago's Guest, back in late June or July, and while the Animation Show does kind of trend towards independent animators, this short, I understand, has suddenly become more independent than it was, we thought it was going to be a few months ago. It's not actually playing with Bolt, is that correct?
Yeah, that's right, yeah, and I get it. Disney was a little concerned that it would just be a little bit too scary for young kids, and I mean, it's not especially terrifying or anything, but you know, it gets a little intense in a couple places, and so they made the decision to not put it in front of Bolt. They're going to try to put it in front of something else, and it's a decision I understand.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, it's always a question of whose movie it can go in front of, and I guess whether or not the makers of that movie are cool with it going out with it. You're kind of would you say you're dependent not only on management but also the creator of the film you go out in front of?
You know, I'm actually not sure how that works. I'm not sure how much input the director of a feature would have on whether or not a short goes in front of their film. So, I don't know if I can answer that.
I've often wondered that, just because when Lorenzo was first announced that it was planned to go out with the Lady Killers, I believe back in 2004, mm-hmm. and I thought, wow, what a combination, that would be great.
Yeah.
But that it was nixed, and I wasn't sure if it was because the Coen brothers didn't think the tone matched.
Yeah, I'm not sure. If I see him, I'll ask him.
Yeah, please do. Love to find out after all these years. Before we talk about the short, which is fantastic, can you give me just a small thumbnail CV of where you went to school and how you ended up in front of Glago's and in front of Bolt?
Oh, sure, yeah. I went to study fine arts up in Canada at University of Waterloo, and took that for a few years, and then it was really I was always interested in animation, but my mom really sort of pushed me to attend Sheridan College, just 45 minutes away from my hometown, and I studied animation there for two summers at an international program, and I really sort of got hooked and really discovered a deep love for animation. And then Bill Matthews, a recruiter from Disney, came up and looked at portfolios, and they shipped me off to Florida to do an animation internship there.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it was pretty obvious to me and to the company that really my interest was in story. And so I kept turning every layout assignment or animation assignment into a story assignment and really concentrating on that part of it.
Nice.
And it seemed like that was where I was best suited. And so then they sent me off to Los Angeles, and I took a story internship here, and that was about, I think, almost 15 years ago now, and I've been in story ever since. And the first film I worked on was Mulan, and I've been here at Disney ever since.
Were you shipped here before or after Orlando folded?
It would have been well before, actually.
Oh, okay.
I was only in the animation internship in Florida for a few months, and then I was here in L.A., and then I kept going back and forth. I spent a couple months in Florida working on Mulan, and then also I was kind of going back and forth a little bit working on Lilo and Stitch. And it was after that the studio closed.
Which came first, Bolt or Glago's for you?
Well, John Lasseter took over Disney Animation about 2.5 years ago, and he had asked me to pitch some short film ideas, and so I presented, I think, six ideas to John, and he really he was sort of drawn to Glago's Guest and asked to put it into production. And I just embarked on that. I'd done all the storyboards, and we'd actually hired or assembled the creative leadership. And it was around then that he asked me to work on Bolt. And at first there was some question as to whether we would make Glago at all, because obviously I would have to be splitting my focus. And the assumption, I think, initially was that we would not make Glago. But, you know, for short, it's a pretty small team that is assembled as far as the leadership goes. And they were all really excited about the short, and they were disappointed with the idea that we wouldn't be finishing the thing. And so they asked me to ask John if we could pursue it. And I think because I had so much faith in leadership that had been assembled, and I could see how eager they were, and I myself really wanted to see Glago through, I went back to John and asked him if we could work on Bolt and Glago simultaneously. And he agreed to that, and so Glago embarked into production, and I think probably one of the biggest challenges of Glago is that I was only available really a few hours a week after a certain point, and so, you know, there was a lot of trust. You have to really trust the creative leadership.
There you go. Were you all of the story issues on Glago ironed out before you moved on to Bolt? Did you board the thing really fast?
The boards had all been resolved. I'd taken a few passes at it, and it was pretty much intact. And, you know, there were a couple little tweaks that we made along the way as we got into production, little discoveries that we made. And John Lasseter, of course, he had some great input. And so there was probably a slight evolution once it got into production, but essentially it was what I had boarded originally.
How does the allocation of resources work on when you've got a feature and a short going? Does everybody work on the feature who is also working on the short, so they're allocating just a bit of a slice of their time to the short while they work on the feature?
Well, I think that I was probably one of the few people who's actually doing double duty. I think that most of the people that were in production on Glago at the time there wasn't a reason yet for them to roll on to Bolt. So they were purely concentrating on Glago while I was working on the Glago production, but also sort of concentrating on the Bolt story. So there wasn't much of an issue there.
The short itself, I shouldn't say very much about what the thing is. I've seen it. I know it's played at a few festivals, but the plot and execution of the item is not generally well known, but we'll just say that it deals with a Russian soldier at a very, very, very,
very
outpost who spends his days looking and spends his night filling a journal with a description of the nothing whatsoever that he experienced that day. Mm-hmm. And then a day comes when, there's going to be something to put in that journal.
That's a very good description.
To leave the wonderfulness of it for everyone to experience, we can just touch on some of the elements that went into the making of it. You've
sure.
really nailed a lot of Russian details from the guy to what he's doing at night, listening to records. Tell me about your team and if there was anybody on the team who brought a lot of real Russian authenticity to the piece.
Well, we did. There was a Russian animator named Alex Kuperschmidt that we relied on for. I mean, he was great. He was a great resource, and he actually did some Russian translating for us. And it's his handwriting that you see when Glago's writing in his little journal. That's Alex's handwriting.
Nice.
And so there was that. And then we also just did a lot of research. We watched a lot of Russian films. And I think that, the most important thing is just digging and doing the research. And that's something that's important to me and something that John Lasseter always stresses, which is, you know, really sweat the details. And so we made sure that the binoculars you have were the right binoculars and the rifle that you have is the right rifle and everything made sense for that time period. So that's something that is really important to John, is do the research, get it right, and then caricature. So that was something that we took very seriously.
The sky in this piece is one of the best skies I've ever seen in CG. Tell me about who's responsible for that great design.
Well, Andy Harkness was the art director, and he's a brilliant painter, and really, you know, the sky is an important element, obviously, in the short, where with everything being so minimal and the landscape being so flat. And, you know, we really wanted to get that stark, empty feeling, so there was a lot of big, empty skies, and he managed to make that work really well. I think the credit definitely has to go to Andy.
Were there any other big, real technical challenges there? Anything that came up that surprised you, where you came up with a solution that nobody's seen before?
Well, I think that I was sort of shielded from some of the technical challenges just because I was so busy on Bolt. I would come in, and then really it was about, you know, talking about the animation and talking about, you know, the making sure that the you know, the layout sort of the story and things like that, and they there was a crack team of people that were taking on problems and that I would not be exposed to a lot of the time, but I would say that I'm concerned that I'll start to give away the ending a little bit, but there were sort of creature interactions that were very complex,
mm-hmm.
and something that that our technical team, you know, really really had to do a lot of work to make sure that they were all working together correctly without saying too much.
That's cool. No, you nailed it. Okay. So you'd come to story meetings and they'd come back and say, hey, another miracle worked, another problem solved. And you'd go, hey, yay, fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, that's the amazing thing about people who are operating at this level is they're very talented and they love a challenge. And they're committed to solving problems, and so I think as a director, you just have to be very clear what you're looking for, what you need to see, and then they will more often than not make it happen. And you know, sometimes you'll say I want this and I want this, and you'll see this sort of you'll see the tension,
yes,
and you'll see them sort of racking their brain as to what they'll do to make that happen. But then they'll go away and they'll come back and they'll deliver, and that's the thing I've been really impressed by is the commitment to solving problems and making these films as good as they can be.
I'm based in L.A., so I've been exposed a little bit to John Bryan, and people all over the country have heard his amazing scores to Punch Drunk Love and I Heart Huckabees. Mm-hmm. How'd you hook up with John?
Well, it was a suggestion from our music supervisor, Tom McDougall, and it felt perfect. I think that one of my favorite movies is the Donald Sutherland version of Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I'm struck by in that movie is that the sound effects and the music in that film really merge together. So oftentimes you don't know what exactly you're listening to,
mm-hmm.
and it really creates a sort of off-putting, sort of creepy feeling when you can't put your finger on whether you're hearing sound effects or music. And we wanted to do that. We wanted to have that feeling. And John Bryan is someone who is obviously a very gifted musician, and he likes to roam in that territory a little bit. He likes to experiment and come up with sounds that are unique and strange. And so I think that we did get that in the short, where oftentimes you don't know whether you're hearing music or sound effects. And there's just something a little bit surprising and unique about it. And that's something that someone like John Bryan can bring.
That's very cool, because one of the things that really excites me about this short is that I don't know what it was about the time when I was seeing it, but this was exactly what I needed at the time I saw it. And it had a tone, the whole film has a tone that I've never seen in a Disney short, and I very rarely see in any Disney product at all. I mean, it's really just a really good science fiction thriller. A really nice short piece. So the tone of the thing is really unexpected, and I love the fact that John Lasseter has put his full support behind shorts, even if they don't, you know, fit the Disney model, quote unquote.
Yeah, well, I mean, that is, I was struck by that as well, actually. I mean, and really excited about that notion that's the one that John was attracted to, because as I said, I pitched a number of ideas, and the other ones were more in that Disney pocket, you know, what you might expect to see, but this one felt the most off the beaten path. And that was the one that John was attracted to, and it really made me see early on, you know, John had just taken over Disney Animation, I saw that he didn't see any of those boundaries, and he just wanted to make stuff that was great. And so, yeah, I was thrilled that Glago was the one that he wanted to go for, and I think it was a pretty strong statement coming from Lasseter.
Very cool.
Yeah, I'm definitely proud of it, and I'm definitely proud that it was made. It's like you were saying, it's the tone of it is surprising coming from a big studio, and it's exciting to me to even know that, I mean, shorts aren't designed to make money, and I love the idea that there would be enough passion for animation here that doesn't matter, and that John would still push for things like that. And so, yeah, I really would love for it to have great success out there, and hopefully give people an indication of where we're at as a studio and what kind of leader John Lasseter is. And so, yeah, I definitely would love to get that exposure.
You guys made Oscar qualification, right?
Emily, did we make Oscar qualification?
We did, yes.
We did, yes.
Yay!
Yeah, it screened for a week in front of Igor, so we're all set there.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, they had to get it in front of something for Oscar consideration, I guess.
Huh, that's interesting. So that's going to be obviously a distribution cooperation between two studios there, I guess.
Yeah, I'm really not sure how that stuff works, but that's what happened.
Very cool. Are you on another feature, another short? What's next?
Well, right now, we're just finishing up Bolt. Strangely, still working on it. We're working on the version that you would see on an airline.
Mm-hmm.
And then after this week, I think my responsibilities really will end. And then I'll take a little break. And then I think the idea is that I will then pitch more feature ideas to John Lasseter and get going again. It's definitely been, it's been tiring and it's been stressful and it's a huge undertaking. And I'm, a little burnt out, but I would say at the same time there was such a great feeling, a great energy around Bolt, and you really sensed that the studio was coming together around the idea of this being the beginning of the John Lasseter era, and there was something so gratifying, so wonderful about, seeing people who were making big sacrifices. People were working on weekends, they were having their dinners here, they were missing out on a lot of things to work on this film, and nobody was complaining, and everyone was really excited about what Bolt could be.
Yeah.
And so I think that for me it's been a really rewarding experience, and I definitely would jump at the chance to do it again.
Very cool. Well, here's hoping that you make at least the Oscar shortlist. I'd love all of our listeners to be able to see this short in a theater properly. It's got a fantastic sound design and is just going to knock people's socks off when they see it. So,
thank you so much.
Here's hoping it'll get in front of some people in the next few months, or if it doesn't get into theaters that way, that Disney will find a nice, appropriate feature to attach it to, and have a good rest. Have a nice, well-deserved rest.
Thanks. Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. We don't make these things for ourselves. We make them for an audience. So it is important to get out there and have people see it, and I think we will find that venue. So, but thank you so much for saying that.
Very cool. Well, thanks a lot for talking to me, Chris. I really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.